Welcome to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with two of the meteorologists on staff here for the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network and for WUFT. We've got senior meteorologist Megan Borowski and also our newest meteorologist, Audrey Shirley. And thank you guys for both being here. The hurricane season runs from June 1st through November 30th. And this year, I think the prediction is to be below normal, but you never know. And you need to be prepared. And as Megan always says, you've got to be weather aware. So Megan, tell us a little bit about this upcoming season.
Sure. So what we're looking at is potentially a below average season. And when I say below average, or when the experts say below average, we're talking about storm totals for the season. So numbers of storms. So we're looking at potentially a below average season when we look at storm totals. And the main driver of that is an El Nino is developing, and we expect it to be a strong El Nino. And what that does is it decreases, or it increases rather, wind shear in the tropical Atlantic. And that can help to scramble up storms and prevent them from developing. So that's what the outlook is right now. But, you know, we have 6 months of hurricane season, and something that I've been talking to a lot of folks about is the fact that even though we might wind up with a quote unquote below average season, we could still get one storm, and that one storm tracks across our area. And so maybe then it's not a below average season.
That's true. And Audrey is, she's new to Florida, but she's worked in meteorology in other states. What is your prediction for hurricane season? How are you going to learn this new dynamic that you're going to be dealing with?
Yeah. Definitely just kind of by, you know, throughout the season, just kind of observing overall what kind of outcome we get, just because, with the El Nino and honestly the super El Nino that we're expecting for this season, since there could be a below average season, there's still, I mean, that doesn't mean that, you know, the chances for storms are out of the running completely, you know, so you could definitely see a few. I know 1 to 3 major hurricanes are forecasted for this season overall, or at least NOAA's prediction. And it's interesting too, because even if a specific area isn't affected by a hurricane itself, you know, there are still tropical depressions, which also can create a lot of impact. And so when I was working back in Tennessee, actually, one of our counties that we covered, Cherokee County in North Carolina, in our viewing area, they actually got pretty impacted by Hurricane Helene, like one of the tropical storms that went through the Blue Ridge Mountains. And so they still got quite a bit of impact from that, even though it wasn't necessarily the hurricane itself, but it was definitely, you know, all of the after effects from it. So, you know, I was definitely able to observe that and kind of track that as it came through too. And we're talking like damaging winds with that system. There was quite a bit of damage on the mountains themselves too. 100 mile an hour wind gusts. It was even just the tropical storms themselves can also cause quite a bit of damage too. So it's something that we can also keep an eye out on for sure.
Well, Megan, you've mentioned El Nino. How long does this happen? When does it occur exactly? Is this just something that's going to happen in the next 6 months, or is this a new trend for the weather for a while?
Well, so the El Nino Southern Oscillation, it's a permanent teleconnection that, you know, impacts the Pacific. It's coupled with winds and then ocean temperatures in the Pacific. So we'll either fluctuate between, you know, we're coming out of a La Nina, we'll go to El Nino neutral conditions, and then we'll switch over to El Nino and El Nino developing. So right now, very high chance of that El Nino developing in the Pacific, really anytime now. And that will likely continue at least into the fall. So we do have, I believe it's an El Nino watch in effect. And let me pull it up so then I can tell you exactly. Yeah, we're under an El Nino watch now. And so, you know, there's a very high chance it's going to develop by July, and it should continue into the wintertime months and potentially into the early spring for next year. So it's going to stick around at least for the next couple of months into hurricane season and beyond. Now, something else that we're going to be looking at is not just the impacts on hurricane season. I know that's the focus of our discussion today, but El Nino can also help to enhance the potential for severe weather over north central Florida during the wintertime months. So we'll probably be having conversations once hurricane season is over, looking into, you know, the wintertime months of, okay, what's next for us? We, you know, we got through hurricane season either way, but now looking into the winter, we do have a, we will likely have a chance for an elevated chance for severe weather because that El Nino is going to continue. But as a whole, you know, and so the Southern Oscillation fluctuates on the period of chunks of months to seasons as well. So it's a seasonal thing that we look at, and it's constantly fluctuating in the Pacific.
When would you say hurricanes kind of crank up during the season? I know June is pretty rare, but seems like August, September.
Yeah, the peak of season is early to mid-September. That's when we see the highest activity. But, you know, in the late 2010s into the early 2020s, you know, we had systems develop before the season actually started. We had May systems develop, you know, but we could see some develop in June. We had our system that developed last year that impacted South Carolina. That was, I believe it was late June, early July. So we can see them impact our area, you know, before that peak of season. But typically we'll see the most heightened activity during late August into September and potentially into the end of September, early October as well.
And there's a list of names. How many names are on the list? Is it a usual amount?
Yes. Yeah. There's no extras. There will be like an additional supplemental list. If we need to go there,
we probably won't.
Yeah, because it's a below average season. But yeah, it's your typical alphabetical list with the normal names on it.
I know they often retire some names. Were there any retired from this list, or how does that work?
Well, last year, and Audrey, you might be on top of this more than I am. I believe last year they only retired Melissa.
Depends on how bad the storm is. Is that how that works?
Yeah. Typically, the World Meteorological Organization and the NHC will look at either the strength and also the impacts.
Is there a Hurricane Audrey on the list?
There is not a Hurricane Audrey.
Or a Hurricane Megan. Is that on the list?
There is not.
Actually, in the Australian basin, they call them Willy Willies, I believe. And there is a Megan on the Australian basin list. So
oh my goodness.
I will have to go down to Australia the year that my name is on the list so we can actually experience.
Yeah, I mean, I remember like when I was younger looking it up, and there is a Hurricane Audrey that happened like in the 1900s at some point.
Well, we're going to come back in just a minute, and we're going to talk about how to be prepared for hurricanes. As Megan always says, be weather aware, and she can explain that concept. And we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Tell Me About It on WUFT 89.1 and 90.1. I'm Sue Wagner here today with two of our meteorologists from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, and they have their forecasts on WUFT and WRUF. We have senior meteorologist Megan Borowski and our newest meteorologist, Audrey Shirley, who came to us from up north, so to speak, I believe Chattanooga.
Yes.
And this is her first hurricane season in Florida, but she has been dealing with severe weather. And when severe weather comes, you don't want to be surprised. So what's a good preparedness list, Megan? What should people have handy, and what should they do other than listen to your reports or watch your reports from both of you? What is the best advice you can give?
Well, good news is for North Central Florida, you know, Alachua, Marion County, we're not going to have to evacuate, right, if a storm is threatening our area. If you're along the coast, it's a different story. But if you're in Alachua and Marion County, you're going to want to have a, you know, supply kit that you could shelter in place should a storm track through our region. So, you know, the basic items of food and water for at least several days should the power go out. The rule for water is 1 gallon per person per day. Of course, you want now non-perishable food items in your kit and any sort of, you know, paper plates or items where you could serve that food, that sort of stuff. The other thing that I recommend is take an inventory of your property, and also take an inventory of important documents that you have and that you need, and take a moment and organize them in some sort of waterproof case. That way you have them all in one area. And, you know, if for God forbid, you know, something happens to your house or your property, you can easily just grab that and take it to a safe spot. So when I say important documents, I'm thinking any sort of deeds for any sort of property, you know, any sort of identification, including your social security card, your birth certificate, passports, all of those sorts of things. Have it in one location, you know, an accordion file, some sort of waterproof accordion file, so that way you can, you know, have it all ready to go. Other things, you know, in your kit, first aid stuff, your basic first aid kit. Something that a lot of us need to think about too is if you have family members or you yourself have any health issues, double check that you have prescriptions that will get you through not only the storm, but the aftermath of the storm should your pharmacy be closed. Or if you need certain medical treatments, talk to your doctor and make sure that you have a plan in the wake of the storm that you can get the medical treatment that you need. So thinking ahead of those sorts of things, what are the things that I can't live without that I need during the storm, sheltering in place, and then after the storm, if you can't get out and about, if the power's out for several days, that's the thing to think about now, when conditions are quiet, when you have time to actually put a plan into place. Because the last thing that we want to happen is a storm is, you know, knocking on our doorstep and we don't have that plan in place. Then it's just panic. You know, it's stressful enough when a storm is approaching. The most that you can do to alleviate that stress is it's just so important to do whatever you can to make it as easy as an event to live through as possible.
I've heard also to make sure your insurance policy is in that list of important
Yes.
documents. And I know some people that make copies and they send them to a relative not in Florida. So just in case, they can get quick access from another location. So how are you getting ready for this hurricane season, Audrey?
Well, for me, it'll definitely be something new since I've recently moved to Florida. I haven't lived here. I've been on vacation here several times, but never during hurricane season or anything. So it'll definitely be something I'll have to adjust to and everything. But I'll definitely want to make sure to get. I like how you mentioned, Megan, something waterproof to keep the documents in, because I have all my documents together, but if I, you know.
They get wet, they're not good.
Right, exactly. So
Yeah.
I'll definitely make sure to get those ready, along with making sure, my family who lives back in Indiana, make sure that they have copies of my stuff too. So that'll definitely help. And also too, and this is also just a big thing and a big resource that people can use too, is a weather radio. I got one when I lived in Tennessee, and it helps tremendously. I mean, it gives you all of the alerts that you need, especially even if the power goes out, it can still, work on its own. You just need to make sure you have batteries in it too. And so that's also a big help, is to have your weather radio on hand as well. So I'll definitely make sure that mine is all good to go with its batteries and everything like that. And yeah, and make sure I have my flashlights, extra food and water, and especially food where, you don't need any power to cook it or anything, just, non-perishable
You'll
items.
find that you'll have all these things that taste wonderful during a storm, and after the fact, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I bought that.
I don't want to have peanut butter anymore.
Peanut butter only lasts for so long. It's not a good thing.
Yes. I've actually already bought emergency water, so I have that down. So
There you
that's good.
go. You're all set. So you guys, of course, will go on 24/7 in the event of a terrible storm in any of our listening and viewing areas. So are you ready for this season? Are you kind of happy it's going to be below normal?
Well, I'm optimistic that it will be a below normal season. You know, the forecast doesn't tell us when or where the storms that do develop will develop or where they'll track. You know, I'm hoping we have a season like last year where we don't have any impacts for Florida, because the previous years, I feel like a lot of Floridians are just, you know, we have hurricane fatigue. There's a lot of communities still recovering from the 2024 season. And so I really do hope, for the sake of those communities, that we have another quiet year. But I also hope that nobody is lulled into a false sense of security from 2025, because, and I hope that we're not lulled into a false sense of security either with that, you know, quote unquote, below average terminology, because it just takes one. I would say in the Storm Center, we're always ready. It is a marathon once we start it, but you know, we are absolutely honored to be able to provide coverage and provide information for the audiences across the state of Florida. So we're ready to go. We're hoping, for the sake of the state, that we can not have to go and do coverage for those hurricanes. We hope we don't have them, but we're ready with whatever Mother Nature throws our way this season.
And of course, we have fpren.org for information on weather. But quickly, tell us a little bit about Florida storms.
Sure. So we've got the Florida Storms app. You can download that on iOS or on Android. It's a great weather app, not just for hurricane tracking, but for just daily weather forecasting as well. And then also for FPrint and for Florida Storms, we provide weather coverage for all of our public media partners across the state, from Pensacola all the way down through the peninsula to the Keys. So if you are anywhere in the state of Florida, tune into your local public media station, and you'll likely hear our voice at some point, especially during a storm.
You'll likely hear Megan, you'll likely hear Audrey,
Yes.
and you'll likely hear the latest news about the approaching storm or any emergency weather that might be coming our way. So, Megan Borowski, our senior meteorologist, and Audrey Shirley, our newest meteorologist, here's to a safe and let's hope dull hurricane season. So, thank you very much for spending time today and telling us how to be aware, what's happening, and let us know when you're going to Willy Willy Megan down in Australia, and we'll cover that as well.
Yeah, I will. Thank you, Sue, for having us.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That was senior meteorologist Megan Borowski and meteorologist Audrey Shirley on today's edition of Tell Me About It. To listen to previous episodes of the show, go online at wuft.org/tellmeaboutit or on the WUFT media app. I'm Sue Wagner on Tell Me About It on WUFT.